welcome to the show, Artie Mehta from the Melt Shop. We're super excited to have you here. Melt Shop is a 13-location New York City-based comfort food quick serve restaurant. That was a lot of words. They're known for their very cheese pullable grilled cheese sandwiches, chicken sandwiches, French fries, and some really fun milkshakes. And they claim their sandwiches are better than your mom's. We'll maybe get into that later. Artie is the director of marketing and systems tech for Melt Shop. She's been with the brand for 5 years, overseeing everything that really that's kind of guest facing. And prior to the Melt Shop, she was with Urban Remedy in California. She started her career at Allison Partners, a PR agency, and landed her first in-house gig at the first marketing hire at San Francisco brass band, The Melt. Yes, Melt Cheese was clearly your destiny. And a fun fact, Artie is known as the queen of the cheese pull, and her first food memory in America was a meal at Taco Bell. Artie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I am the queen of cheese pulls.
God bless. What a fun food story you have. Like this was, you were just destined.
Totally.
So how did the Taco Bell meal happen? Let's start with something super fun.
I love it. So I moved to the country when I was 5. And at the time there weren't a lot of vegetarian options and flavorful options. And Taco Bell was that intersection. So Indian people love Taco Bell. And I would like to say that it was my people that really led the return of the Mexican pizza,
right?
So that's how it happened. And I just remember being like, oh, this is amazing. Also very flavorful and spicy.
Nice. So what do Indian people, other than the Mexican people pizza, like what's on the menu for Indian people at Taco Bell?
So I love a bean burrito. We love bean burritos. We used to love 7-layer burritos, but those are no longer on the menu, and crunch wraps.
Oh man, I could go for a crunch wrap literally at all times of day.
So good.
I had a fun story before we get into the marketing stuff. When I was the summer of my 16th to 17th year, so like in between junior and senior year of high school, Taco Bell did this thing. I don't know if you were in America yet, but they did this thing called the 59-cent menu. And so they had like 5 items that everything was 59 cents. And me and 2 of my buddies on the last day of school, like went to Taco Bell. We're like, this is so good. We should eat Taco Bell every day this summer. And I was like, done. And one guy fell off after like 3 days. The other guy lasted about 3 weeks, and I went the whole summer. And I literally ate at Taco Bell
every
single day for an entire summer. And the rule was that if you skipped a day, you had to make it up, right? And you couldn't go more than 3. And I only went 3 days once. And so on that 4th day, I ate Taco Bell 3 meals. But I did an entire summer of Taco Bell.
That is amazing.
I still love it. I still love Taco Bell. So,
so if they bring it back, are you going to do it again?
No. I have been seeing on the TikTok lately that people are doing like an entire day of pizza. Like that would be no problem for me, but an entire month of Taco Bell, the missus doesn't like it, and neither does the kid. So it'd be a challenge to work that into today's life. So
interesting. I have more questions, but that seems like a really big tangent.
Yeah, and I'm here to question you. So Let's get into that. So this is the Restaurant Marketing Podcast, and we talk about how multi-unit brands successfully market at the local level. So Artie, how do you successfully make sure every single Melt Shop gets the attention it needs? What do you do?
I mean, it's a lot of juggling, I will be very honest. We try to do marketing campaigns that we can apply everywhere, but some of our attention is needed for like a local level. We just reopened a location out in Suffolk County 2 weeks ago at the Smith Haven Mall. And so we are doing very localized marketing there. And so we're at soft open right now. And in June, we're going to go to 7 days a week. And I'm really working with the mall there to see how we can sort of get some of those influencers in. So we have a whole Long Island influencer strategy. But we're also like, I'm like, who runs the mall? And so there's a great mom walking group. And so we're doing a lot of mommy and me events and a mom walking group event. So it's just really identifying who the community influencers are and trying to get them in, because that for us is an easy push to do, because once you try our food, we know you're going to come back. So my goal is just to get them to try it. And the budget is low. So it's like, how do I get scrappy? And something like that is perfect. And, you know, we try to tie it with sort of the larger strategy. So right now we're promoting our coffee Oreo milkshake. So the mommy and me event is going to be an Oreo shake for the baby, coffee Oreo shake for mom. We also have a whole new catering menu. So we're going to do the full catering menu to get some catering orders in. So anything we could do to like cross promote.
I love this. Let's go deep into this for a second. All right. So you're reopening a store. It's essentially a new store, right? And for all intents and purposes, mm-hmm. in a mall, right? and you have LTOs, you have specialty items, you have social media, like of all the things, right? And how did you find out about Mommy and Me? Like, how did you find out about this Mom Walker group?
I just connected with the mall, just went right to the source. I was like, hey, this is, we're reopening. Who do I need to talk to? How do I get there? Who do you have connections with? And then we also went sort of the scrappy route, like looked at hashtags, looked at anything that said Long Island or Suffolk County in food to get some of those influencers. But yeah, it's just going directly to the resources, those people on the ground.
Man, it always surprises me, like what is a little tiny tactic like, oh, we went onto their Instagram account, looked at who was checking, like it works, right?
It
It
works.
totally works, but it requires the marketing or ops team to actually like go do the work. And I find like a lot of people don't want to do the work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you, but it's also like, you know, there are people who live in these counties who are responsible for marketing the county or the mall or whatever plaza you're in or neighborhood. So it's like, how do you find those people to kind of help you do your job and they become an extension? So the marketing team at Smith Haven Mall is my team right now who's really helping me promote that location because they're going to benefit from that traffic as well.
Nice. All right. And then what activation are you doing with the walkers?
So the walkers, we're trying to decide what we want to do. So the walkers are the same as the Mommy and Me group. I guess it's like there's subsection of the moms
Oh my goodness.
that are stay at home moms do the walking group. So we might do an early post walk brunch for them.
So like a totally like a different meal.
Not a different meal. We're just going to open up
Oh,
early
okay, I got it.
and have their final destination be our location at so they'll end the walk in front of Melt
Oh,
Shop, and
cool.
we'll pick
And
them
then,
up.
all right, so essentially it's an influencer marketing play, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
From a brand level, where is influencer marketing a priority? How do you think about it? How do you execute it? Like how frequently you're doing it?
It is definitely a priority. I mean, we have LTOs. That's our product marketing is really what works for us. And so we're constantly promoting LTOs. And the best way to get the word out is influencers because there is a network of people that are just can help us do that. And beyond that, I'm a team of one. They're really great content creators. So, you know, getting them to come in and kind of shoot it in an aesthetic that really works for the algorithm that's ever changing is super helpful for us. So it's like twofold. It's like we want to promote, but like, you know, I'd love to work with you to get the content because it's beneficial for both of us because that algorithm again is always changing.
I posted something last night from a restaurant that I absolutely love, right? And I've posted before and done a ton of engagement. And I looked this morning and it had like 13 likes. And I was like, damn you, Instagram. Like, what is your problem? But anyway, we won't go down that road.
So, yeah, totally.
but for sure, and I think a lot of people don't think about that. Like, most people look at influencers as a way to gain awareness, right? And they don't think about it from the content grab scenario, like, oh, I
Yeah.
can repurpose that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think where we're lucky is Melt Shop's food is very beautiful and very food porny that like there's a benefit to the influencer to actually post as well because they're going to get all of that great engagement from our product. So it does full circle.
That's awesome. And so are you executing influencer marketing on your own, or you work with an agency? Like, how do you get that done?
I have a consultant I work with. She's a student, and she understands this world. She was with the agency we were with before, and so she spends a couple of hours every week to kind of dig. And you know, prior to this, it was like let's email, and she like lives just in DMs. Like everything is done through DMs. That's just really the way. I mean, as much as you want to structure these things, you really just gotta go where they are and not apply structure. Like look at their hashtags, find people like location search and see who's talking about it and then just DM them. We actually I'm want to work with some product brands like Fly by Jing for a future product someday. And I was like, you know what? I tried looking for them on LinkedIn. I tried looking, I was like, I'm just gonna DM them and within a couple of minutes I got a response and a contact. And that's how, what if we go down this partnership, I'm excited to say that that's how our story started because we slid into their DMs.
That is amazing. At my restaurant, we've worked with 50 different influencers since we opened last November, and 100% of those relationships were started in a DM.
Amazing.
100. Like, it's just how that works. Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's the second thing now we've talked about where it's like, well, you got to get in and do the work. Like, you know, scalable systems are important. Like, you know, we might talk about a billboard as being like, oh, I just bought a billboard. But like, is that really what you needed? Like, does that really get you want to go? What's another like really deep, super tactic that requires the work that you're doing?
The work. I'm trying to think. Influencers and like all the social media stuff is really just sort of the deep tactic. Sometimes when I do PR once in a while, that also is very like reading articles, finding relevant articles, and then actually just sending a pitch that's like, hey, I read these two articles. Here's my opinion on the article. Also, like, if you're interested in talking to MailChimp, here's something we're doing that's applicable. Or I see that you like discussing this topic. Can I propose MailChimp and what we're doing for that? And that's like, that's for me has worked. Like, Eater is one of the hardest publications to get in touch with, especially if you go down an agency route. But I've been able to just like take the time to read a couple of articles and find the right person and then send them a relevant email has been very, very awesome. Helpful.
Well, you can have a third career as a PR agency after you're done with this. So I think everybody wants those articles. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So PR part is part of your mix as well.
That's like a, hey, I have time this week. Let me do some outreach. It's not like we don't have a PR strategy just because that does take a lot of time and we don't have a PR agency either. But if I see something relevant and it fits, why not?
Got it. All right. So a little bit of PR, some influencer marketing, some block and tackle. What else? How else do you ensure that, like, how about at a brand level? Like, how do you help every location with something you're doing?
Yeah. So I think LTOs are definitely that. We have an LTO calendar. Our next one, and we try to stick to the calendar yearly. So like April just passed, which is National Grilled Cheese Month. And that is an LTO we do. And I just have a toolkit of items that every single LTO gets. So it's menu boards. We redesign our menu boards to highlight the LTO. Some of our locations, like the Smith Haven Mall, has a fifth marketing board. So we create animations for that board to promote the LTO. Our NYC stores are allowed to have A-frames outside. So we put it on there. Our kiosks, I can change the cover. So we put it on there. We also build the menu. So right when you log in, it says new. If you go to our ordering site, order.mailchimp.com, our app, it's always highlighting the LTO or whatever we're promoting. So that's sort of a part of the toolkit. And then when I do, then I get influencers to come in. We're doing eBlast. eBlast is a big tactic for us as well and strategy. And so then that's impacting all of the locations. And so that's one of the biggest ones we do.
All right. So you have an LTO playbook, right? Mm-hmm. And it has a mix of on and off premise, right? Yep. On and offline type stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing like visually in the store, like you're putting in front of people's eyes. So captive audience, right? Making Definitely. Sure you're a captive audience. Influencer marketing, right? So awareness, content creation, email blasts. I'm assuming, I know the answer, but for the sake of everybody listening, I'm assuming you do a ton of social, right?
Yes.
Which social channels are you using?
Just Instagram. I've been toying with TikTok, but we don't have the time or the resources right now to dedicate what I think needs to go into really making it work for us. And as much as I try to use the same content, but change it for the platform and change the music and all that, it just doesn't seem to be working. So trying to figure out TikTok, but it's mainly Instagram. And now we've shifted completely to just do videos because our photos used to get a lot of likes, but the last time I posted a photo, we got 20 likes maybe.
It's absurd. We know we could have a whole another show just on that, but we won't
talk about it. And then SMS as well.
Interesting. What are you doing with SMS?
So we're using Attentive and we just have an ongoing calendar where we promote whatever we're pushing that week, the LTO obviously, but it's also like anything that's happening outside. So like whenever it's raining, I always do like a grilled cheese and soup post that performs really well. I think with SMS, it's tricky because once it launched, it was designed to, in my opinion, be a discount only strategy on SMS to be successful. So we're trying to figure out like, how do we balance not discounting with brand promotion to get like the conversion and click through and everything we need.
That's awesome. Yeah, I find that SMS works best as either a promo or an event, right?
Yeah.
An event could be, hey, this is only available today, or it could be, you know, we're having a party. Like event essentially means there's a window of opportunity that's closing.
Definitely. And that's what we're learning through for our loyalty program as well, because we were trying to drive traffic on Mondays. So I would do double points Mondays and I would promote it. We did it for about 2 months and I would heavily promote it, but I didn't want to lose engagement or have people unsubscribe. And it just, the drop off was so, there was a huge drop off. So what we are learning is, like, even with Punch and our loyalty, it's like the spontaneous promos just work really well, like flash sale this week only. And whenever we try to do something ongoing, it just like doesn't work.
Nice. Do you guys use a lot of promo codes and discounts and incentives, awards?
No, we do. We do a lot of double points and triple points campaigns. Our customers seem to really, our guests seem to really like that and be it like involved and active when we do that. We have ongoing journeys on SMS and on eBlast via Bicky that do have promo codes. So that's like the underlining promo code. And then if you sign up for our SMS program, you do get a 10% discount. But that's the only thing we do in January, which is generally a slow time for us. We do more of those flash sales, like I'll do BOGOs. So that's kind of there. And then we also have a huge third party marketing strategy. And within those, just to game those marketplaces, we have different promos running, sponsored listings running, to get first visit, second visit, and then just keep people engaged on those platforms.
Cool. I want to come back to the third party thing in a second.
Yeah.
How do you measure the effectiveness of an LTO?
Looking at sales compared to past LTOs, sales within the product category itself. So like we launched Saucy Tenders, which wasn't an LTO, but it was a product launch that we treated like an LTO. And so we looked at the whole category, like how did offering four new Saucy Tenders impact the chicken tender category? So looking at those things and then just kind of looking at guest behavior with those products.
Do you measure like awareness or anything social on LTOs as well? Or are you just looking at sales?
Just looking at sales. I will measure engagement for each campaign we push and click-through rate and conversion. But it's just the whole sales bucket. And social, I keep coming back to Instagram, but that I just haven't found a reliable way with the algorithm always changing to find metrics that work. So it's just more like we had this amount of influencers come in, we had this post, and then we kind of look at it on post to post basis too now.
Sure. I want to come back to that as well. So yeah. a lot of things to talk about in the next 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Something that I found pretty useful. It's a little hard to do, but you said you work with Bicky and Bicky can do this. It's customized. So hopefully I'm not putting them out by saying this publicly, but we did an analysis with a multi-unit brand I work with where we wanted to know, like, what's the value of an LTO? Like, not just in sales, like, what's the true value? And we came up with the theory is we wanted to see what was the lifetime value of a guest who bought an LTO versus our average guest. So we had Bicky run a calculation of LTV for everybody in our database. And then we did LTV per LTO.
Okay.
And we found that on average, the minimum LTV of a guest who bought a LTO was at least two times our average guest. So if you bought any limited time offer, you were worth twice as much. And some of our LTOs were worth five times as much.
Wow. Right?
So what we had to then run was the Venn diagram of like sales and LTV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we had an LTO that did five times LTV, but very few people bought it. So it was like, was that one worth it? But when we could get to like the three range,
then you know it's worth
all
it.
All more powerful.
Yeah, so that's great. I want to connect with you offline on that.
Right, there's a writer downer as my. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about third party tactics. You said you have your own playbooks or tactics for third party. How do you see that, and what does it look like?
So I spend a lot of my time talking to our third party reps. I talk to them weekly actually at this point now, because we did, during the pandemic, we did launch a bunch of virtual brands. So we have Melt Shop and we have for additional brands. And so it was working closely with them to launch those, find the keywords, and make sure like they launch properly. And now we're just consistently talking to them and looking at what works, what doesn't. And so we've just figured out sort of a, for this quarter, a strategy that works for, and it's different for each channel, but it is really constantly changing. And that's why I'm always just in touch with them, because I don't know what is going to happen, what isn't going to happen. And we all saw that with the Grubhub promo from last week.
That's a whole other show. Yeah. I have some people that very angrily would love to have a precipice on which to scream. So we won't go down that route.
Right. I'm happy to join.
We can talk later. Maybe that's an episode of the show. Are you spending any time in trying to convert people who normally would go third party to come and order direct from MailChimp?
You know, we tried that with through Vicky, because they were able to help us scrape some of that data and do social ads. But a lot of those customers for us are in New York City, and we're just, our social ads in New York City just don't seem to be working, and maybe it's a crowded marketplace. So we haven't done a lot. I have a couple of theories that I think people who live in third party marketplaces live in those marketplaces, that it's hard to convert them over. And as a consumer of Uber Eats, for example, every week I'm getting a promo from them. Like I'm every discount, up to 50%. And like, they've just figured out how to game me that I'm never going to be able, as MailChimp, I'm never going to be able to compete with that. So we haven't done a lot, but the hope is that like, once you do try it, you have a good experience. And I think customers are getting smarter now, understanding that like pricing is higher on these marketplaces. It's not always the best for the restaurant. So I think people are coming over, but it's just very hard to compete with the discounting that they're doing. And that discounting doesn't cost the restaurant anything. They're putting those dollars into getting that marketplace, or owning that marketplace and that customer.
For sure. There's a research that was done by Yipit Data, and I have the report if you want to ping me after the show. And if, by the way, if you're listening to this episode or you're watching it live and you want the data, just reach out to me. I'll send it to you. But there's a report by Yipit Data where they looked into what is the loyalty of somebody to a third-party platform? What is the loyalty of a guest to first party? What does the frequency look like of either? And what's the chance to convert? And what they found, and it's deeper than we'll go in this conversation, but essentially is like, people who love DoorDash use DoorDash.
Yeah.
And people who love Uber Eats use Uber Eats. And people who want to order direct. And that the ability to flip somebody is very small. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like something like 1%. However, the difference is that people that convert have a typical higher loyalty, like frequency or LTV. So getting them to convert is highly valuable. It's just really small.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see that. Yeah, I definitely see that. And then I think there's that customer that's just loyal to all of them and finding the cheapest option.
I talked to somebody at a trade show recently that's trying to put together the Expedia of third party. So you're like, you go to their site and we just tell you who has Taco Bell the cheapest.
That is amazing. That's a great.
Who is it?
Yeah, that's going to save so much time. That's a great. Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. All right. So do you have like tactics that you're using to increase order frequency on third party?
We are. So we have a first visit promo. Then we have a second visit to bring you back. And then we also do sponsored listings for our keyword searches. So our ad dollars are always bidding for different categories. And those are the three that we're focusing on: DoorDash and Uber Eats, but it's two different offers. And then really emphasizing when we do this promo, like really, really emphasizing to our operations team how important it is to execute these as perfect as possible, make it on time, make sure all the mods are there, don't forget anything, because we're putting all the dollars, but once we mess up, the algorithm kind of screws us. So it's just like, it's a whole situation. And then that's the tactic. This month, we're going to look at all the promos we've been running to see where we need to make switches. And switches just being like, if we're doing $5 off 20, do we do $5 off 25? Do we do $3 off 15? So it's like little changes like that.
Cool. So if you're running like promo on third party, how do you measure the effectiveness of that? I know you said sales is sort of your guiding line here, but how do you measure that in third party?
Just looking at the ROAS. So we get monthly data from all of our partners that says, here's sponsored listings breakdown. Here is here's your reviews breakdown. So we look at that as well. Here is promo one, promo two, and then you know, looking at a formula that's like, okay, this was the cost for that. Here are the commissions. Here's like some labor projections we can make. Here are COGS, and then what was the true outcome of that?
Great. So you're looking at like gross sales, net sales, COGS, and then what your promo cost was. And as long as there's money left over, you won.
Yeah. And then also just looking at like, what is what is the amount of money, right? So then is it like really worth all of what we're doing? And then it's also just looking at like, then separating out that data and be like, what is organic? What are the organic dollars on these platforms as well? And then, and again, we're doing it for every single location, every single virtual brand, for every single location. So there's like different tactics for all of them. And then for certain markets where we're trying to promote just more engagement, the sponsored listing's a little bit higher, or it's a different promo. And then, yeah, sort of those two.
So what you're saying is the reason you can't do more PR outreach is you're in spreadsheets all day long.
Totally. Or I'm just talking to our third parties.
Anyway, third party conversation, spreadsheet, and then maybe PR.
Totally. And then TikToking right here.
And then TikToking, there you go. Yeah. Or getting on the phone with me. So I appreciate that. Yeah. All right. So let's create a scenario. So you get a store, let's say it's an urban store, it's in New York City, and they call you and they're like, something is happening. We can't figure it out. Like, we're having a dip in sales. What do you do?
Well, then we analyze. We actually had this recently. So then we analyze all the data. I have a great data scientist who kind of pulls all of it. So it's like, okay, what were the app sales, app loyalty sales, and how did they differ? What were the kiosk data sales? How did they differ? What was the POS? What was happening in the area that we need to take into consideration? Let's look at all third party for that location to see if there was a dip and how it, like, what's exactly going on, and then kind of evaluate from there. And also just talk to the GM to be like, hey, what have you noticed a change in something? Is there something opening or whatever? And then we assess from that what actually is happening. And we did that recently, and we learned that there was something wrong with our Grubhub account. Oh, but wow. It took all of that for us to realize that like something was happening, and it was a glitch on their end, where it showed on for us, it showed on for them, but it wasn't connected in the back end.
See, this is important, of monitoring your metrics, right? Because when something happens, you have to diagnose the problem, and it could be a billion things, right? Maybe it's not just like the food sucked that week, or people started going to a different restaurant. Like, sometimes it's some technical glitch, right?
Yeah. And it's like, your rep will be like, it's fine. And we had a change, and they're like, it's fine. Everything went smoothly. And we're like, it didn't. Like, let's look at this. Like, this doesn't make sense. And then we were able to assess, but it's constantly looking at that. And then it's also looking at reviews. We use Tattle. We use Yext. So it's monitoring all that just to be like, is there something happening with the food or the delivery or like the frying mechanism for the fried chicken and all of that, and then really assessing from that.
All right. So with 2 minutes left, I have one sort of two-parter question. So lighten up. A, how important is guest data?
Very important.
Okay. I figured that would be the answer. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have a second question. Yeah. Second question is, what are the top ways in which you are getting guest data into your CRM?
Right now it's very scrappily. So I'm like manually pulling it from all of the different technologies that we use, and then putting it all together. But we haven't found our like sort of one-stop solution, which I would love to have in the next couple months, because it is very manual and we have so many technologies for the size that we are. Does that answer the question?
Sort of. I'm saying, like, how do you collect somebody's email address? Like, I'm guessing somebody orders from your website or joins loyalty, right? Other ways in which you're getting people to give you?
Got it. So yes, through that. Then through, we're looking at putting up a pop-up on our kiosk. So 70% of our orders in some locations are directly from the kiosk. So it's, how do we capture that guest? Then it's SMS when you sign up on if you go to MailChimp.com or order.MailChimp.com, you get a pop-up right away that says, do you want 10% off? Get if it's your phone number and your email. So those are like the sort of the buckets we're looking at.
Awesome. Do you guys, have you tried Wi-Fi? Have you gone down that road?
We haven't gone down that road because we do just offer it for, we do offer it for free, but we've explored it and never really moved forward with it.
Gotta gate that.
I know.
We at Handcraft, we add about 30 to 35 people a week to our database just from Wi-Fi.
So, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so highly valuable. All right, well, Aarti from Melt Shop, it's an incredible conversation. I knew we'd get into like 75 tactics in 30 minutes. So yeah. You're brilliant in what you do. You're excellent. The brand is awesome. If anybody here has never heard of Melt Shop or never been to a Melt Shop, the next time you're near one, you should go prepare to maybe take a nap or leave a half hour in your day afterwards, because I can't control myself when I eat there. I'm like, I want that and that and that. So,
well, thanks, Jeff. You've always been a big support, so we appreciate you.
Thank you. Well, anything else you want to leave people with, or if they have any questions, ways to get in touch with you?
At Melt Shop or at Aarti Mehta. If you guys have questions, I'll hook you up with the promo code for your first order.
Oh, look at that. God bless. I'm going to pretend to be somebody else and get a new email address just so I can have
it. Amazing. I will catch you, though.
All right, Aarti, thanks so much, guys. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend and like the podcast on whatever your favorite podcast player is. Thank you.